You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. This is episode 56. It's July 17th, and just to give you a heads up, there's more background noise on this episode than normal. I'm leaving the AC fan on. My roommate is sick, and she's asleep, so I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway, but I don't know. I'm not at a level that I think, if I lose listeners because the AC is on in the background, if that's that distracting to you, just a little bit of a, hey, this is not there's the silence in the background isn't as what I'm used to. Fuck this guy and his unprofessionalism. I'm going to listen to another podcast. You've got other issues going on other than me, so I'm not going to take that personally. You know, in that same vein, I've been following my, because Podbean that hosts my shit, like, keeps track of stats and stuff, and this past week, I don't know what happened. I don't know if somebody recommended it or it showed up on a search or something, but I got a lot more, I got, like, this influx of subscribers who also subscribe to other recovery-related podcasts. So I guess it was one of these things where if they're just, I don't know if I'm on a listing or something, it's cool. Or if it's just easy to search and then it pulls them up and you add and then you go, all right, let me see which ones are for me. So for anybody listening who's new and you're listening to me because this is a in the category of recovery, loosely, but you're listening to other ones too. That's good. I should be one voice that you listen to, but not the only one. There's definitely several podcasts out there that are informative, that really get in the meat potatoes of recovery and day-to-day, and maybe some more specific to 12-step, some specific to not 12-step. I mostly just talk about the shit I'm dealing with as somebody who's been sober for 6 years and 10 months. So, sorry, I had to remember what month this was. But I'm not the most positive fuck. So, as long as you know that, and then, you know, welcome and hope you enjoy. He said, he asked. So, I gotta get into this. This is a thing. I've been thinking about this for, it's been 5 days, because I got this email 5 days ago, and I've been thinking about it on and off all 5 days, waiting to talk to you guys about it. So let me get my ducks in a row here. Let's see if we can get this set up. I made that sound like I had to set up like audio and video when really I was just pulling up my email and a website. So I got this email 5 days ago, and it is from, let me see the name of the, Tiana at LiebermanMediaSolutions.com. So it's one of those marketing firms, media solutions groups that somehow tricks people into giving them money so that they can promote you. And I don't know anybody, because I've known people who have gone with these kind of marketing solution programs and stuff for their business. And all of them has said it was a waste of money. And yet these fucking people still, they're still around. Anyway, they email me And subject of the email is pitch, colon, how Russell Phillips found sobriety after 18 years of addiction. So I'm intrigued. All right. Dear still sober producers. That means you, Kitty. I hope you're well. I wanted to pitch you a compelling human interest story. Well, I am all ears or eyes. Russell Phillips, and it's linked, so I'm going to go to his website in a second. Russell Phillips spent 18 years addicted to hard drugs, experiencing homelessness, and alienating his loved ones. He then spent another 10 years in prison. That's where he decided he wanted to reclaim his life. He got out of prison early, so he didn't spend 10 years in prison, did he? Landed two jobs and began working to buy a car, home, and even clothing. Even clothing? Interesting order. He even bought himself food. Holy shit. Now he's giving back, mentoring youth all around Maryland and giving hope to other people struggling with addiction. I think your listeners would enjoy hearing from Russell, and I'd be happy to set up everything you need. Just let me know. Thank you, Tiana. Well, I'm just, like, I'm really interested because I'm wondering, somebody who's, you know, changed their life and whatever, but somebody who hires a media solutions group immediately, a marketing firm immediately has my, just my spidey sense going off. But, you know, so I wanted to present this. So I go to his website. All right, which is RussellPhillips.com. Now, this is a guy who is promoting himself as, you know, he's addicted to drugs, but he got out of prison early and he's changed his life. All right, so go to his website, and the first thing that pops up is this this picture with his baseball cap, like, face down, and he's got a T-shirt that, like, a hoodie that says, "Shock the World," and the title is like, "Anything is possible," and it says activist, author, speaker. So, you know, he's a motivational speaker now. And then it's got a, you know, it's got all these quotes from the Baltimore Sun. It's powerful and riveting. The WMAR2 News says his story is heartbreaking. You know, it just, it's flashing this stuff as seen on like ABC, CBS, these local affiliates. So you scroll down and he's got his bio, and his bio reads this: time, dot, dot, dot. It's the fabric of life, dot, dot, dot. It's the number one commodity that we possess, and yet so many of us take it for granted. Jesus Christ, man. At the age of 16, I decided to try drugs for the first time. It was a decision that would forever alter the course of my life. Over the next 18 years, my life would continue to spiral out of control until ultimately, in 2014, I was sentenced to 10 years in prison for distributing cocaine. Hang on. So he's a dealer. I mean, he's probably also a drug addict, but he's a dealer. That's why he went to prison. Also for 10 years. Let's see. And it, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to skip ahead. Here we are. Gradually pulling myself out of the drug-infested life that led me to prison and kept me from reaching my full potential. My story has become an inspiration to many because I dared to dream beyond those prison walls and beyond the stigma of addiction, not allowing my past or what others thought of me to define me, but because I have the courage to share my story unfiltered. My work in the community has gotten me recognition across numerous outlets, including front page articles and news stations. I use these platforms to speak on the power of hope and change. I share my story with the hopes of people understanding how precious life truly is and the importance of this thing we call time. I bet this guy has shoulder problems from patting himself on the fucking back constantly. Wow. But there's a, but what's great about this is that that's like the short bio. And then if you look at the full bio, and it, he talks about, you know, he's after 18 years of drug addiction, over 30 arrests. He's had 30 arrests. All right. In 2013, everything would come crashing down. During an ongoing drug investigation, Russell was set up by a confidential informant and sold cocaine to an undercover narcotics detective. Do you see? So it's like, you know, I'm changing the world and wanting to motivate people in a positive effort. Anyway, I was set up by this snitch, right? Like, isn't that weird? Like, it's still the even now, like, it's he's not taking blame at all for the fact that he was a fucking drug dealer. But no, he goes, no, but this snitch got me to sell to an undercover narc, right? And then they fucked me. Like, it's still the same dealer mentality. All right, so, yeah, so that was in 2013. And then in 2014, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And so, like, the big thing is that when he was in prison, his mom died, and he wasn't able to go to the funeral. So that's like the big thing. And it talks about, you know, with his spirit crushed, and after 18 years of struggles around drug addiction and crime, you know, he reflected on all the things he could do differently and desire to change. And then after serving 2.5 years on a 10-year sentence, Russell was released from prison. So. All right. So here's the deal. So because I know that it's, you know, it's like, really, are you attacking another recovering drug addict? Kind of. And this is why, because it just, there were things, you know, there's been aspects of it, and I'm like going, wait a minute. You know, that's, I'm not saying he wasn't a drug addict, but he was a fucking dealer. And dealers are different. And I found out more information because he's got the, there's a, you know, one of the articles that he's got on his website to check out is the Baltimore Sun. It's a newspaper in Baltimore, which the article has several misspellings, by the way, which doesn't make me feel good for Baltimore. On top of everything else, but that's fine. But in the article for the Baltimore Sun, which was, and you can, if you don't believe me, you can check. It's May 24th, 2018, called "The Comeback Kid." In the article, he talks about how, you know, he was addicted to, you know, for 18 years to cocaine and PCP. Now, I mean, granted, he started using PCP in 2013, so he turned himself in 2014. So, but he said he started selling cocaine in his teens. That means he's been selling coke the entire time. So you can talk about drugs ruining your life, like, from an addiction point of view, but he was a dealer for almost 2 decades, all right? Now, on October 2013, U.S. Marshals raided his mom's home because that's where he was living. Because, you know, dealers make cash. So they because he'd been under investigation, and yeah, because some snitch got him to sell to an undercover narc agent. So they raided his home in 2013, his mom's home, arrested him. He post-spawned. Then he gets arrested again. Now, because of that, that's because he talked about, oh, you know, drug addiction. You know, I was, you know, I've had to deal with homelessness. He was homeless because he got arrested for dealing after posting bond because he was arrested for dealing and his mom kicked him out of her house. And he was homeless for maybe 6 months. During that time, that before he finally turned himself in 2014, because he had all these warrants and all these arrests. He'd been arrested many times, okay? So he gets a 20 years in prison with 10 years suspended. I'm not really sure why, but so what happens is this. This is the thing that really made me go, what the fuck with this guy? Is on his parole, he was denied his parole on his first parole hearing. So that might sounds like maybe, you know, so like a year later or 2 years later in his parole hearing, he was denied parole. After he was denied parole, he got a hearing and talked to the judge and was able to get his sentence modified, and he was sent to a substance abuse treatment facility that they have there, and he spent 4 months in the substance abuse treatment facility, and then he was released on October 28th, 2016. So 2.5 years, because he went to rehab, and he went to rehab after he got denied parole. Do you see where I'm kind of going with this? And the reason, and the thing is that he may truly have turned over a new leaf, all right? Because he is working two jobs, he says, and all this, and he's got ambitious plans. The article said he's started a nonprofit called Light in the Shadows, where mentors people about drug addiction and stuff, and he wants to turn that. But the thing is that he's got ambitious plans, and he's raising money for lawyer fees because he wants to turn Light in the Shadows into a 501c3 tax-exempt status, which, and I've done some searching and looking, they don't do anything. It sounds a little scammy to me. It sounds like, and the thing about it is that it's just kind of a, you know, because he's on parole. He's got a breathalyzer device on his car. I've been there. So the idea that you're patting yourself on the back about, look at this guy changing his life. This guy's amazing. I am so awesome. I've turned over a new leaf. You're on parole. You haven't done anything that people who are on parole don't do. That's what people do when they get out of prison, is they get jobs and try to stay out of trouble while they're on parole for however much longer they've got. It's when the cops aren't watching you, when you're not on parole and probation, when you're done and no one's monitoring you, who are you then? Then if you're clean and you maintain that you've got a different life, then maybe people can go, you know, you can go, man, I'm doing all right. I'm not being made to be better. That's the thing that bugs the shit out of me. And I don't like it when people, you know, I try to be humble about it when people try to, you know, when they tell me, man, it's a great job, John. You turned your life around. You were, you know, you almost died so many times. Now you've been sober almost 7 years, you know, and the lifestyle you're living now, and you got your life back. And I really don't like the yeah, look at you. Because the thing about it is that being sober does not make you a good person. AA rooms are full of predators. You know, just because you got sober doesn't immediately mean that you're awesome. It just means that you're not shitty and wasted. You're still shitty. There's things you have to change about yourself. And you know what? And I hope he does change. I hope he is changed. But everything about this, because I went to rehab and then I went to treatment in Travis County when I was in lockup. I did both of those things. So I know the program that he's talking about. And both in rehab and the program that I was in, you know, the same kind of program. I'm guessing. I don't know. Maybe Maryland's program is better or shittier. Who knows, than the one in Travis County. But it was full. Both rehab and that one was full of fucking dealers who got their lawyers to get them out of prison by telling them, you know, because they've got drug problems. because they do drugs, because dealers do drugs. But a lot of them, a lot of them do weed. That was the thing, is that there was guys who were dealers, but they were in treatment for their marijuana addiction. So, you know, it's just like, it's bullshit. And they're not, you know, they're just, it's just, you know, they're just playing along because it's easier than being locked up and going, you know, and going to lockup. So that's basically, you get a suspended sentence by getting help with your drug treatment, because it's, you know, the idea is that, oh no, they were only dealers, you know, for their addiction. But no, it's because they were addicted to the criminal lifestyle too. It's not just the substance. You know, cocaine doesn't make everybody, and heroin doesn't make everybody deal, you know? It's just you smell, you can smell the fraud. You can smell how fake it is. And I hope that this isn't completely, you know, I hope he's not exactly like those guys that I know. Even though everything that I read about it makes me think he is. It's immediately. And why am I spending so much time on it? I'll tell you why. Because those fucking assholes emailed me. That's why. You had a marketing group send a bullshit email to my email address and waste my time. So I'm wasting my time, all right, by totally blasting you. That's why. It's all because of that email. Don't use a media group. If I could... anything, don't use a media group, and don't trust people who used to be dealers. Oh, I used to be dealers. I used to be a dealer, but then I changed. I don't know. You got to give them time. Make sure, especially if they're on probation or parole. Do not, man. Just, you can't trust people sometimes. Especially if they're on probation. You gotta wait till afterwards and then just kind of look at them going, "You doing all right? Okay, all right. No, don't trust you yet. Congratulations. I will pat you on the back. I do not trust you. That's just not the way, not gonna happen." Anyway, it's unbelievable, man. Let me clarify, by the way, that I am not encouraging anybody listening to this to go check this guy out, to harass this dude, to fuck with this guy, to fuck with that stupid media solutions group. I don't want anybody doxing anyone. Because I still, you know, I hope that if he's faking it, that it's fake it till you make it kind of a thing. That's actually what AA, that's a slogan AA people like to use, which I think is a horrid concept. But if it works for you, it works for you. And I hope it does work for him. I hope that he's scheming in the way that he thinks he's scheming, and that changes him slowly and all that. That's good. I hope that that's the case. And I hope I'm wrong. That he really did change, you know, that he did, you know, I'm going to make something, you know. I hope that he thinks he's doing something good, even though it's gross. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of people, there's just a lot. I bring it up because there's a lot of this, and I found it fascinating that this kind of fraud, this kind of fake behavior is even in this, even in recovery, even in just different aspects. They're so like schemes, you know, just scheming. There's schemes in the comedy world, in our comedy scene here in Austin, and I'm going to bring this up because I don't care. I've been doing this long enough. I don't care. But well, also because the comics I'm talking about, they don't fucking listen to me, and that's cool. Even if they heard it, fuck them. They're not booking me, and I wouldn't do their shows. But they've got. Instead of taking the time to actually become good comics, they start their own they start calling themselves like a production company. They band together with other comics who are also terrible because they're all new. Collectively, they've been doing comedy about 3 years, like all together. Like it's just like collectively, like let's cumulative time. How experienced are we? Have we reached 5 years yet? No. So you've got these guys and they put together these groups. One of them is called Rough Cut Comedy, which, I mean, you might as well name your organization Needs Work Comedy. But, you know, they've got these things and it's like the production and they put on shows and then they book just themselves and it's just shit because they're new. You're going to be shitty when you're new. It takes time to get better. But, you know, this is who we are now is people want, they want it now. They don't want to take the time to actually get good. It's all about brand, not about content. This goes back to what I was talking about last week. You know, entrepreneurs, influencers, they have absolutely no content to provide anyone other than just them. You know, and I'm an influencer. The fuck does that mean? It's just made up bullshit. And it's just, you have to be just on the, and the thing is that it, you can't stop, you shouldn't try to stop them. You know, you got to let people do, you know, trial and error, let them learn. It sucks for the comedy community because somehow these people get shows. And then people go, oh, let's go to this comedy show. And then it's garbage. And they're like, wow, stand-up comedy is terrible in Austin. Then they don't go to another comedy show. Although, to be fair, it's a free show. So what the fuck do you care? You didn't pay anything. Bunch of cheap bastards, goddamn audience members, with your no music paying for. I want to see comedy, but I don't want to pay for it. I'm not going to buy any drinks because I'm cheap. Like, just. So you know what? Fuck them. Give them shitty comedy. That's what I say. I just turned around on this issue. You know what? Good for them. Give these terrible, cheap assholes terrible comedy. It's appropriate. We get what we deserve. That's what I say. But no, it's just, this kind of thing is everywhere. Where it's just, people are just fake people with nothing. There's nothing there. And, you know, I wanted to share this because, number one, I was irritated by the email. But also, I don't know, you got to be on the lookout for this stuff. You got to, when you really look at something, how somebody builds themselves up. If you all it takes is just a little bit of extra time, and you just look, and you'll see that they're skin deep, that it's thin, that there's nothing there. You'll see that it's fake, and people with no substance, like it always falls through. Nobody makes it without anything to offer. You know, brand's only going to get you. You'll get attention, but after a while, if you don't have any content, if there's nothing to you, it's just going to fall apart. It happens, which is why, you know, the whole, you know, I got to do something to frauds is just like, let them crash and burn. Don't get involved with that. Just steer clear. But that's what I had this week. So, good luck to Russell. I hope he stays sober. More importantly, I hope he stops fucking selling drugs. Because that's really what he was. Yeah. Anyway, you guys. On a positive note, I'm having a good week. I hope you had a good week. I hope you're having a good week. That's right, it is Wednesday. This is like the beginning of end of my week because my days off are Monday through Wednesday. So I feel like this is my weekend is almost over, but you guys are right smack in the middle. So I hope you end up having your good weekend. If you're sober, I hope you stay sober. If you're normal, I hope you stay sane, you guys. We will see you next week. If you have any emails, if you want to contact me about this or about anything, stillsoberpod@gmail.com, stillsoberpod on Twitter, although I don't check that. And then also on, you know, Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast on Facebook. Anyway, I'm John Rabin. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. Later. Right.